Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and thank you for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast from Seoul, South Korea. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams. Thank you so much for joining me today for this amazing show as we celebrate and honor the giving of God's Word and also the giving of God's Spirit to His people. So today we're talking about Pentecost and Shavuot, which is the biblical Hebrew feast that that represents God, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And it's the second pilgrimage journey for the people of the Jewish people back to go to a significant time of year, and we're honored to be able to just discuss this and to be able to go into the Word of God and see what the Lord has to say to us today. Again, thank you so much for tuning in, and I pray that God will just speak to your spirit. I pray that He will speak to your heart today. So if you have your Bible and your notepad, we're going to go ahead and go into the Word of God as we talk about Pentecost, Shavuot, also known as the Feast of Weeks. And if we look in Leviticus 23, we're going to see when God gave the people the all of the biblical holidays and the festivals for them to keep. The Feast of Weeks is listed there amongst the scripture in Leviticus 23 and 15. And He gives the instructions and the directions. It is a sacred assembly. It's a holy day. So the Jewish people are not working today. It's a holy Sabbath. They're not doing any regular work. They're only honoring the Lord, and they're honoring the giving of the Torah that God gave to Moses and the Ten Commandments that He gave to Moses. So if we are going to begin, and that would be number one, the Lord, as He took the people out of Egypt, and He used Moses as a deliverer of the people of God to stand against a pagan nation, which was Egypt, to stand against Pharaoh, to declare, "Let my people go." He was calling them out to Himself. So He was literally setting them apart. And if you would think that the exodus from Egypt, beginning with the Passover, where the blood of the lamb was put over the doorpost of each home, then you would think of Pentecost or Shavuot or the Feast of Weeks as the culmination of what God desired for them when He originally called them out of Egypt. Even Moses told Pharaoh that the people of God wanted to leave so that they could worship God in the wilderness. And so the Lord was calling them. He was setting them apart. He took them on a journey across the Red Sea. And this is really the climax of God's purpose for the people of God, for even taking them out of Egypt, was so that they could be a people for Himself. They could be a holy people, a royal priesthood set apart for His glory and for His use. And that is what God originally, that's what this is about. God wanted to meet with His people. He wanted to have them have an experience with them. He wanted to have an encounter with them, with His presence and His glory, and that's what happened at Mount Sinai. And we know that Moses received the Ten Commandments, the Torah. Really, the Jewish people were really birthed, I guess you can say, during that time, during the Feast of Weeks. And so we see that the Torah was given. We can look at Exodus 20 and verse 3, Exodus chapter 20. And so this describes Moses meeting with God on Mount Sinai. In verse 3, he went up to meet with God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, "This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. know the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And then, of course, he went back and he summoned them, and then all of the people responded at the same time, "We will do everything the Lord has said." So Moses went and brought back the answer to God. And then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you." Then Moses said to the Lord what he had said, he said to the people. So God encountered them. Of course, we know the long and short of that story was that when Moses came back down, they were building golden calves and, you know, having a party, and Aaron was, you know, the one responsible for looking after them. But God ultimately, and he still is today, wanting to pursue us. He's wanting us to have no other gods before him. He's wanting us to be a people that is set apart, of a kingdom of priests and a holy. He wants us to be his treasured possessions with no other idols and no gods before him. So the third point is he gave the Torah. Now, in contrasting the New Testament, what does this mean for New Testament believers, for believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, for believers in Jesus Christ? So if the birth of the Jewish people and the birth of the Judaism was on Mount Sinai, then you can say that Pentecost in the New Testament was really the birth of the Christian church. And that was a giving of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to spend some time on this. Before we do that, let's look at Acts 2, 1 through 4. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast. I am your host, Pastor Star Williams, broadcasting live from Seoul, South Korea. So Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what would be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And Jesus picked such an amazing time for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit came at such an important time because it was during the Feast of Weeks. And all of the Jews were there in Jerusalem from every nation. You can see in verses 9 and 10. And 11, they were from all over the world, and you have 120 of Jesus' followers there to receive. And so that was such a strategic time. Let's look at Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 27. We can begin in verse 24. "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean, and I will cleanse you from all the impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my decrees." And so the Lord, just as the Torah was given at Mount Sinai, was written on stones, it was written on a stone tablet. Here Ezekiel is prophesying that it wouldn't just, that his law would not be written on stone tablets, but it would be written on hearts of flesh, not hearts of stone. So we see the third point we saw in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, that the New Testament and the New Covenant, the giving of the Holy Spirit, took place during the Feast of Weeks. And we see number 4 is prophecy is fulfilled. So the Lord is fulfilling prophecy, and now we have received the Holy Spirit. He's now inhabited our lives as we are now his dwelling place. So, and we see in Joel 2, verse 28 as well, that it was prophesied that in the last days that God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters would prophesy. Old men would dream dreams. Young men would see visions. And Jesus said, on my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. You'll see wonders in the sky and on the earth, and the moon will be turned to blood, and the sky will be darkened, etc., in the great and dreadful day of the coming of the Lord. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's the whole purpose of God's Spirit and God coming in the day of the Lord, is so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And we see that during the day of Pentecost, people from all the nations of the earth came there, gathered there in one place. And as the Holy Spirit came, they heard their language being spoken as they were speaking in tongues. And Peter had the opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and thousands upon thousands were added to their number that day. So prophecy fulfilled. Well, what was the prophecy that was fulfilled? We know that Jesus said, I did not come to abolish the law, or I didn't come to do away with the law, but he said, I came as a fulfillment of law. And we know that love is ultimately the fulfillment of the law. The Bible says that, where there are tongues, where there are prophecies, they'll all cease. Prophecies will go away. Knowledge will eventually fail. But one thing will not fail, and that's love. Love will always remain. And we know love never. And so, anyway, so God is all about fulfilling prophecy, and he's all about bringing his culmination, his word to culmination, and that is through the person of Jesus Christ. He was the fulfillment of everything God desired. Then what went wrong in the Old Testament, God made right under the New Covenant or the New Testament. And so we see here God's Spirit, his very presence, which no longer was just relegated to tabernacle made by man or by a building made by, man's hand, but we are now his building. We are now his habitation, where his Holy Spirit resides, and we're made by him. We're made from clay, the Bible says. So the Holy Spirit came, and let's look at John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. That is the name of the Holy Spirit. That is what happened at Pentecost. The Spirit of Truth came. And the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. So he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit, the giving of the Holy Spirit, he is our Spirit of Truth. He is also our leader, our guide, our teacher, our director. The Bible says that he will lead and guide us into all truth. He is the resident member of the Godhead on earth with us, as Jesus is in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. God is on his throne, ruling and reigning. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. He's our teacher. He's our guide. And no longer are the laws of God written on just stone tablets, but they are written on our hearts of flesh. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome the powers of darkness. And so we are empowered. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, he says, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. and you will be my witnesses. That's something that the old covenant did not have. They did not have that, the Holy Spirit without measure, did not have, it was, you know, of course, the Spirit of God would come upon the men and women of God as the Lord chose, but it was often through, they had to seek and they had to consult like a prophet, a specific prophet, or only the Levites, Levitical priesthood were allowed to, you know, to cater and to take care of the tabernacle and to be in the presence of God. So it's no longer like that. He has now poured out his Spirit on all flesh, and he's given us power to overcome the powers of darkness. He's given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of wisdom, the gift of faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, discerning, et cetera. And so we also have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. So we have empowerment. We are empowered to be witnesses for Christ, along with the original 120 that were there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. We are now empowered to be his witnesses throughout the ends of the earth, everywhere that we go. So prophecy is fulfilled, and we have received the Holy Spirit. We now have his word written upon our hearts. And the church was born at that time. The Holy Spirit now lives in us. We are his tabernacle. We are where he lives and where he resides. And he has made his home within us. And so God is desiring for people. His whole purpose and his whole goal is that he wants a people set apart unto himself. He wants a people that belong to him, that do not have any other idols, any other gods before him. And so that was what we saw in the Old Testament, and that is what we see today. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. We know that price was the price and cost that Christ paid for us. And it says, therefore, honor God with your body. God values not only our spirit, our souls, but also our body, because that is the very place in the tabernacle where his spirit lives and dwells and resides. If you're just tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships live radio broadcast, I am your host, Pastor Star Williams, broadcasting live from South Korea, Seoul, South Korea. And we're talking about, we're honoring this weekend is Pentecost, the Hebrew or the biblical, the Old Testament name is, and also it's the Feast of Weeks, or the Festival of Weeks, and it began at sundown yesterday, which would have been the 22nd, and it will continue throughout. It will end on sundown on the 24th. So, of course, we call Pentecost Sunday, which is tomorrow. That is a very much of a high holy day within the Christian community, and it's representing, it's honoring with God giving us his spirit, his power, his presence to be with us and to lead and guide us into all truth. So God is calling us out of the Egypt. He's calling us as his treasured people, and that's done by the blood of the Lamb, blood of Jesus Christ, that is over the doorpost of our lives. And when it's over the doorpost of our lives, that marks us as God's children. So he's called us out. He's washed us with the blood of Jesus Christ, And he ultimately wants to lead us to an experience and an encounter with him, his presence and his glory, to empower us and to enable us to be his witnesses. And so that experience is not just a one-time experience. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That is what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received the Spirit of God without measure. And it came as representing of fire. It set on each of them as tongues of fire. And so the Holy Spirit is good. When he comes in our life, he comes in power. He comes in might. And I love that fire in the Gospels, I believe the Gospel of John, it says that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that fire is so significant because it's something that we need as Christian believers in our lives. It is a purification of our lives. It takes out sin. That is the empowerment to overcome the powers of the devil, the works of darkness. So it empowers us. It takes out the impurities. It burns away by holiness, by only like not natural way, but a spiritual way. It burns away everything like the world in the life of the believer. It takes out the sin. It takes out everything that's not like God so that we can be in a better relationship with the Lord, and we can have better communion, and we can have better fellowship with him. And it also refines the people of God so that we can be like pure gold. The Bible says that in a house there are many vessels, some for honor and some for dishonor. There are vessels of wood. There are vessels of different forms. There are vessels of clay, but then there are vessels of silver and gold. And some vessels, again, are for honor and some are for dishonor. So God wants to make us vessels of gold, pure gold. He wants us to be refined by his Holy Spirit. And also he wants us to receive power. He wants us to receive a dunamis, an empowerment that's not of this world, that is otherworldly, that does not make us just relegated to live and operate in this natural world. The Bible says we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So we're not from the world. The world has no claim on our lives. The enemy has no claim on our lives, no longer, when we're in Christ Jesus. And so also the Holy Spirit empowers us to be holy, hence the Holy Spirit. It's not a bad spirit. It's not his spirit. It's the very spirit of Christ. And everything you see in the Holy Spirit, his gifts, his fruit, was displayed and fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And he gives us his spirit so that we will be like him. That's Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, so that we will be like him, ultimately making us like God and ultimately making us to have the same mind of God and the same mind that God has, which is holy, and that's to be witnesses, and that's to walk in the empowerment and the fulfillment that Christ enabled us to walk in. So the Holy Spirit, he came like a blowing of a violent wind and filled the whole place, and tongues of fire separated and came to rest on each of them. And you'll see here that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them, or other languages. And that is so important. I believe there is something about speaking in other tongues that God, I believe, sees important for him to put in the same verse associated with them being filled with the Holy Spirit and them being able to speak in other tongues. And that is just, I believe, for our life, our personal lives and empowerment, because the Bible says that you build up your spirit, and by speaking in tongues, and you build up yourself in your most holy faith by speaking in tongues. So I believe he also gave it as a sign to unbelievers as well, because it is a sign that God is here and that God is inhabiting, and his habitation is with his people. It's with man. It's in us. And because it's otherworldly, it's not of this world. And so the gift of tongues and is a gift of the Holy Spirit as well. But then also God has given us, he's filled us with his Holy Spirit and gives us the ability and enables us to speak in other tongues as a sign and a wonder. So people can kind of say, wow, that's amazing. What is this? What does this mean? Well, it means that God is here. It means that God has a plan for your life and God wants to fill you with his Spirit and empower you and enable you as well. And I think it's just so amazing that people thought that they were so, they were, as the 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were speaking in other tongues. The people from the other nations that were there thought that they were drunk. But Peter had the opportunity to say, no, these men aren't drunk, but they have been filled with the Holy Spirit, as was promised by the prophet Joel. And so it will make people look, and it will bring a joy. And when the Holy Spirit brings life and he brings joy, and he empowers us to be witnesses. And so that's really the new wine. The Bible in Proverbs, also Proverbs and the Word of God, it says don't, look into wine and don't be filled, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that's, I believe that's the true wine. That's the new wine. That's the best wine. And so that brings, I believe, a greater effect spiritually than natural wine does. It's a spiritual wine. And so I believe God desires for us to have a spiritual and to have, to be yielded and surrendered to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to fill us up with, instead of being filled with the world's wine and the natural spirits and the demonic spirits that the world has desired for God's children. God wants us to be filled with his spiritual wine, and that's the Holy Spirit without measure. And so if you are just tuning in, thank you so much for being a part of this broadcast today, Building Godly and Healthy Relationships. I'm your host, Pastor Star Williams, broadcasting live from Seoul, South Korea, and we are just honoring and remembering and looking to the Word of God about Pentecost and the Feast of Weeks and Shavuot 2015, which is this weekend. We're right in the middle of it. And so the Lord is just really saying, I believe, to us today that he is just wanting us just to know him, to be filled with his Spirit, to be filled with his power, and to be filled with him himself. And so as we just begin to pray, I want you just to think about what God desires for your life. He, number one, wants us to meet with him. He wants us to have intimacy with him, his Spirit, his presence. He wants to know us and to be known by us. He wants us to have that intimacy, and he wants to empower us to overcome our sins and to be holy as he is holy, because without holiness no man will see God, and he wants us to be his witnesses. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your sons and your daughters. We thank you, God, for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for your plan for our lives, that you have desired for us to be your treasured possession, your people, of your kingdom of priests and of royal priests and of kings and queens, Lord. And we just thank you, God, for everything that you have desired for us. And we just surrender to your will. We surrender to your plan. And we thank you for your Spirit, God, that you are now dwelling and residing within us. We are your tabernacle, and we surrender to your Spirit and to your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and we will talk to you next week as we are going to begin a series on prophecy, which is just the what. So please join us as we begin our series of prophecy. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you.